So we got a huge group of people up here, and there's some beauty in what you're going to see today, because you're going to be taught by the wisdom of the team. And the wisdom of the team is something that has been very powerful in this whole process of what you've been hearing thus far. And I'm excited to hear what's coming out in step 11. So step 10, last week, what Louise talked about, we broke into the maintenance portion of this 12-step process, which means you got to keep doing it. You understand that? It kind of goes in line with our mission statement that Jeff actually gave during communion of we are a community persistently moving the world two steps closer to Jesus. We don't just do it once and then we stop and sit down. It's a consistent movement, a consistent action. And that's this life in Christ. That's this discipleship. That's this continually cycling back to everything that they've been teaching throughout these last 10 weeks. And what they're going to be teaching about today. So it says this in step 11. I'm just going to spoil it. Ready? Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand Him. Praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. That's some beautiful stuff. That's some beautiful stuff that happens a lot with you folks here. That's a lot of beautiful stuff that happens with, it was right there. Missed it, nailed it. Some beautiful stuff that happens in LTGs. Just yesterday, I met with my LTG, and we were just praying, God, show us where you need us to be. Teach us how you want us to love. Teach us who you need us to be in contact with. Teach us what you need us to say in these situations and how you need us to be in these situations. It's something that we're doing all the time, and it's something that this group does all the time as well. And they get it right 100% of the time. That was a funny joke. Whatever. There's coffee out there if you guys need coffee, okay? So pay attention. Keep your ears focused because God's wanting to say something to you this morning. It's by no accident that you're here. I give you the teaching team of the 12 steps, everybody. Step 11, here we go.
I'm up.
Are you on?
Am I on? Hello? Hey, look at that. Amazing. So I want to give a quick shout out because the music today was awesome. Well done. And one of the songs that we did this morning, Be Thou My Vision, is one of those songs that pulls me back every time I hear it. Shout out again to the Navigators that are here. I know we got a couple. Yep. That's where I learned that song, was in the Philippine Islands when I was a military wife. We sang that to acoustic guitar and learn to have God be our vision. So step 11 is about Him being our vision and how that happens. I'm going to open in a different prayer than we would normally do. In the rooms of all the anonymous meetings, the Serenity Prayer is something that is said every meeting. What most people don't know is that that prayer is actually much longer than what is hanging on people's walls or set in those rooms. So I'm going to open with that this morning. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as He did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would like it. Trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, that I may be reasonably happy in this world and supremely happy in the next. Amen. So we're doing, obviously, a little different this morning, and this was a little bit of a process through some prayer and a little bit of revelation to somebody that's actually not in the teaching team. That it was suggested that we do this together. So there's a lot of trust fall going on here, that we're each going to teach a small portion of this whole step, and then God's just going to meld it together. This is one of those things we've mentioned before, that these steps hold hands with each other. And so this is a picture of that. That we as a teaching team are holding hands together to teach you this most important step, this action step that we all need to take and so desperately need. As Louise last week and Adam this morning said these are maintenance steps, and this takes action. So we need in the process in the forefront of our minds so we don't fall into the old traps that we're used to. Hopefully through the last 9-10 weeks, we have come to a place of not just listening to us on Sunday mornings, but have actually done the work in these steps. You've had it on the bulletin. You've had it accessed all the time. So we're hoping and we're praying that you're doing these things with us, because believe me, the four of us are doing these steps this whole time. So this next action is to move closer to God. We call this spiritual formation. You're going to be hearing a lot about that in the next couple months, about our spiritual formation. And what that is, really simple, is a maturation of our relationship with God. Dallas Willard writes that God's grace will accompany us every step of the way, but it will never permit us to be merely passive in our spiritual formation in Christ. So this action that we're taking is an exchanging of our ideas for that of Christ. So as we got step 11 up there. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for his knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. There's a word missing, so keep repeating it, baby. His will for us and the power to carry that out. So if you're used to being in, and you can go ahead and highlight that first part of the step. If you're steeped in Christian tradition like I am, like I was on the cradle roll of the Baptist church where I grew up, you've probably heard the verses in Matthew about asking, seeking, and knocking. And a lot of people are like, that's a name it and claim it thing. That whatever I ask for, God's got to give me because I asked him. And what we have to realize is that in order for those things to happen, we have to be in alignment with God. We have to seek through prayer and meditation what his will is. And then we'll find that in our seeking and our asking, we're going to be asking for the things that he intends for us. So if we ask for his will, guess what? It's really cool. He's going to tell us what it is. It's really simple. So Paul wrote about this a little bit in to the church of Ephesus about this coming and seeking Christ. It says, now we can come fearlessly right into God's presence, assured of his glad welcome when we come with Christ and trust in him. So we're going to define these terms. I mean, I would hope that you know what the words sought, prayer, and meditation mean, but sometimes we get a little confused on what they mean in the Christian world. So sought, I think we understand that. It's we're seeking after something. We're on a quest for something. And all too often we try to seek things that are trying to fill that God-shaped void in our lives. We want really great success at work. We want to be the most awesome husband or wife. We want to be the best parent. We want the best kids. We want everything on a little platter. And that leaves God-shaped questions that needs to be answered, because we're answering them in our humanness. So we're always going to be left wanting when we don't seek from God the things that he intends for us. So we're seeking satisfaction, contentment, love, freedom. And the writer of Acts addresses this in chapter 17. It says, the God who made the world and everything in it, the master of sky and land, doesn't live in custom-made shrines or need the human race to run errands for him, as if he couldn't take care of himself. He makes the creatures don't make him. Starting from scratch, he made the entire human race and made the earth hospitable with plenty of time and space for living so we could seek after God and not just grope around in the dark, but actually find him. He doesn't play hide and seek with us. He's not remote. He's near. We live and move in him, and we can't get away from him. We are all adept. I know I'm really, really good at this, groping around in the dark, trying to find what is right in front of us. Prayer and meditation help us change the groping to finding. So prayer is that thing we do all day. When we get an email from Whitewater Prayer and somebody has a need, what do? We stop for a second and pray for that need. When we're in traffic and we're almost in an accident, what do? We stop, thank God I didn't get hit. That's a prayer. The little popcorn prayers that you throw up all through the day. The prayers that you do before you eat a meal to thank God for the provision that he's had for us. Little things all day long that keep us in constant communication with God. But the majority of that is not listening to God. It's just talking to him. And a lot of times we just throw out our thoughts to him. And that's good, but it needs to move a step farther. And that moves us into meditation. So there is there's a thing called two-way prayer that is a meditation that is part of the anonymous groups where you purposefully sit down for 20 or 30 minutes and you read a portion of scripture and then you ask God a question and you wait for him to answer you. Two-way prayer. We say something, he says something back, and that's meditation. We're meditating on his word, and we're waiting for what he's going to offer us. Well, I had a problem with meditation for a really long time. I felt like it was one of those, you know, it's one of those new agey things, and that may be a little bit old for some of you. I realize now. Sorry. So that movement in the 80s took away some of the things that God considered really important for us to do and changed the meaning of them to mean just like opening your mind to whatever wanted to fall in there. And that's not what meditation is. Meditation is not emptying your mind and allowing something to come in and take over your thoughts. What we're talking about is a structured, intentional time with God. In Psalm 1:2, it says, those of us who shun evil men's advice delight in doing everything God wants them to do, and day and night are always meditating on his laws and thinking about ways to follow him more closely. In the Message version, that meditate says to chew on it, to savor it. So why should we do that? Book of Hosea answers that question. My people are destroyed because they don't know me. So if we're not praying and we're not meditating, we're not going to know God. He's just going to be some thing out here that we're not even focusing on. We need to focus and contemplate and quiet our hearts and take time to enjoy this time with God. It's kind of like savoring a really good meal. If you have a meal that is prepared by a chef for you, you are going to first experience it with your eyes and your nose. You're going to see this, you're going to smell it, and go, man, that is some good stuff right there. And then as you take a bite of it and you savor that, you're going to feel all of your senses in your mouth just really pinging in on the spices and the temperature, and every bit of your bite being is sucked into that little bite. And then when you're done, it's like, oh, that was the best thing I've ever had, ever. That's what God wants us to do with the Word of God. He wants us to hunger and thirst for it and to meditate on it so that later we'll sit there after we've experienced it, sit there and say, oh man, I just got something I never heard before. And that's happened over the last 3 months as we've done that. We've all experienced this, and we desperately want you to experience it as well. So the reason why we're going to do this is going to be handled by Mr. Caleb.
I'll try to stay sitting. I probably won't. So go ahead and go to the next slide, bud. So mine is to improve our conscious contact. And I want to be adamant that I am teaching or speaking about this in the context of what this means to us as a whole. So when I'm seeking through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as I understand him, when we talked about what sections we were going to take, with this, conscious contact became like the first thing that came to my mind is something that I really wanted to key in on. And the reason for that is through my issues with my addiction, through my life, conscious contact has been a struggle of mine. I feel like in the beginnings of my walk with God, that this wasn't a thing. I feel like I didn't adamantly exist in a place of conscious contact with God. I felt like I had contact with God, but I felt like a lot of times I didn't play much of a part in that. I felt like most of the time it was God trying to talk to me, and most of the time me not listening. As I aged, you know, calendar-wise, thank you. As you know, as I got older as a person, but not more mature as somebody of faith, it became evident in my world that I was missing. Oh man, I was missing the boat. And in all reality, it didn't come to a head until, and I noticed, I figured this out after the fact, so this wasn't a a revelation at the time, that in my addiction and in the stuff that I was doing, and when I was early married and I was constantly falling into porn, that every time I wanted to look at porn, my wife would call my phone. Like, literally. This, it wasn't like, oh, a couple times and I noticed it. This happened hundreds of times. And every time I wanted to deal with my addiction in a bad way, my wife would call my phone. And it became so obvious and so apparent that God was just throwing bricks at my head, like, wake up. And it took me forever to kind of catch this. And then once I finally started to deal and started to ask God to take these things from me, it started to become more of a conversation versus what it had been before. I've had a lot of conversations with family members and with friends in the past, and I've heard people say these words like, you know, I don't hear when God whispers. He needs to, this is a family members of ours, he needs to speak to me with 2x4s. Yeah, sometimes we do need to get swung at with a 2x4 because we're not listening. But this whole idea of conscious contact, this whole idea of improving our conversation with God comes back to this place of maturation that she talked about earlier. And so, yeah, at that time in my life, the only way I was going to listen to God was him hucking bricks at my head because I was so dull to everything else. And in John 15... Where did my verse go? Uh-oh. I scanned. I swiped. It was a problem. In John 15, it says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So as we take time in prayer and meditation, as we take time to read the Word of God and to seek God earnestly, what we're doing is improving the conversation. What we're doing is opening those lines so that God doesn't have to yell. God doesn't have to scream or throw things just to get us to listen. God can just say, hey, you're missing the point. And it's that place of maturation, it's that place of understanding God that my conscious contact has started to move, that I've started to become a more mature and more adult Christian. But as you guys know, I'm not much of an adult as it is. So... I'm going to turn it to Craig on that, but that's my place with conscious contact, is that as we mature, as we grasp at these conversations with God, we start to listen, we start to hear more adamantly, and stop closing ourselves off and stop closing our ears to God. That's all I got.
One of the things that I became aware of with this, particularly with this step, is that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And we've got this, the whole is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And when we were led by God to teach this as a team, it very naturally divided itself into some parts. And we trusted God for his leading in that, and that's what you see before us today, is a trust for God's leading. The part of this whole that I get to talk about today is the God as we understood him part. And I immediately wanted to teach this part of it when we had our meeting about this. And the reason for that is because I feel like it's critically important that we understand God relationally, the dynamic nature, the growth nature of a relationship with God, that it is constantly in motion. And one of the things about this step is you'll recognize some words here that were used way back in the third step, as we understood him, right? Well, there was a way in which we understood God at that point in our process that probably has changed by now, because our relationship with God is more like a video than a snapshot. It's a process of progress. And that's the most important thing for me to understand, whether I'm talking about recovery from an addiction or a behavioral abnormality, or if I'm talking about growing as a maturing follower of Jesus. I have to see it as a process. I have to understand that, just like we talked about this morning in the forum, fantastic discussion, by the way, so shameless plug for the forum, Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock in Suite 119. But we talked a great deal about how we understand God and how that grows and changes. God doesn't change, but we do. So that's a critically important aspect to this. The language about understanding God in step three will necessarily change as we get a better view of ourselves in the inventory process, and that's what moves us through. And I think about the initial understanding of God, and it doesn't take much, right? Jesus talked about faith the size of a mustard seed is enough to begin this relationship with him. And my nemesis, educationally speaking, was math. And Jeff was my tutor, because I had to actually take a college math class to get a degree in theology. I think there's just something wrong with that idea, but it was necessary. But I really struggled with math, and I was really having a hard time with it. But what happened with Jeff was he got me back to some basic principles, and he helped me to understand those principles, and then things built on that. And so I could go from basic arithmetic to maybe algebra. And heaven forbid I should ever have to take calculus or trigonometry. My strengths lie in other areas. But that's the process of our faith. And so when we look at it that way, we're not inventing God. We're gradually getting to know him better and better. That's the critical aspect of this, because as I recall back in my early days in recovery, there were a lot of people that were talking about God as we understood him, meaning God as you create him. And that's terrifying to me, because I cannot help myself. My best efforts, my great genius and wisdom are what got me into the pickle in the first place. So clearly this step does not mean God as you invent him. It means God as you know him at this moment. Mm-hmm. And understand that already that moment's passed and you know him a little bit more now. That's the critical aspect about this. Another thing that we talked about in the forum this morning, we don't get to define God. God is who and how he says he is. There's no more reliable, trustworthy, accurate perspective on who God is than God himself. And now you guys know why we hammer away at the importance of understanding Scripture, studying it, asking questions about it. Any questions, all questions are good. Answering our questions at the level of our understanding of the Word of God, capital T, truth. That's going to grow and change, but God will not. The beauty of this, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that all Scripture, and we had this verse this morning in the forum, all Scripture is inspired, breathed out by God, and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people for every good work. In some of his last words to the New Testament church, the Apostle Peter gave these words. It was right before his martyrdom in AD 68. He said, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now and forever." That's it, people. That is the reason that we study Scripture. It's not just an academic exercise. It's how we learn to rightly understand God. It's the essential aspect to really growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. We've said it before, and I believe this to be true. We will never have a right view of ourselves or the world around us till we have a right view of God. This step is about the endless pursuit of a better understanding of God.
Hey. So I have the section, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And I have this section because I am not only the most humble person in the world, but the most obedient. So both of those characteristics, I was just joking, by the way. Both of those characteristics are involved in this part. I'm going to give you a little bit of Jesus this morning.
Okay.
I like Cindy's reference to Dallas Willard. He was the first person that I became aware of that used the term apprentice as opposed to disciple. And he may have used them interchangeably, but the point is that we are Jesus's apprentices. And that means that he's our master, and we are working under him, and we're learning from him, and we're doing what he does more and more and more. And the whole idea is that spiritual maturity means that I will look more and more like Jesus, that he is the most spiritually mature person, if that's even a thing. He's God, so he's pretty mature. So the point in this step isn't that we only ever pray for only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Jesus prayed differently at different times. He was sometimes thanking God. He was sometimes, even the Lord's Prayer is asking for things. The point of this step is that we come to a place where we're more concerned about God's concerns than our own. He is not as dedicated to your preferences or your comfort as you are.
Amen.
He is dedicated to restoring the world and restoring us as part of the world. So I want to talk a little bit and give you the words of Jesus who we're supposed to be apprenticing under. The first one's John 8:29. "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." I always do what pleases him. Wow. Another one is from John 17:4. "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do." This was Jesus shortly before he was crucified, and he was talking to his Father. John 5:19, Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also." So a lot of times we may have an inkling of what God's will is, but we don't necessarily have the power to carry that out. I had a conversation one time with someone who was a new parent, and they said, I really love my child, but I don't feel like I have what it takes. And I was thinking and praying about that, and I thought, of course you don't. Anything God asks of us, we don't have what it takes. Caleb talked about John 15, and one of the lines from that is, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." It's not just you can do a little bit without me, or you can, you know, whatever. It's, apart from me, you really can do nothing. It's not a surprise to God that we don't have the strength to live the way he calls us to live. So Jesus got that. I want to read some words of God the Father. Exodus 9:16, "But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." See, in order to do God's will, we need to let go of glory. We have to be willing to give it to him, and he will enable us to do what he asks us to do. Then the final thought I had was from Habakkuk 3:19. "The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." God will enable us to do things we never thought possible. And he wants us to be able to do things that we never thought possible. So the idea of what we are to do first comes from him, and then the power to do it comes from him as well. And all we have to do is say yes.
Okay, thanks, guys. And in the rooms, as I've said before, when someone's done speaking, we say, "Thanks for sharing." And that's what we've tried to do today on this step is step 11. We really want you to get this. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand him right now. Praying only for his will for us and the power to carry that out. We have spent much time in prayer for all of you. For everyone that's listening through the website, for everybody that's listening through our Facebook page, and we do have people that are doing that across the country. I've been in contact with one of my friends that was like, "Holy cow, I have to go through the steps." We all need to go through the steps. It doesn't matter if you're addicted to food, if you're addicted to pornography, if you're addicted to alcohol or drugs, it doesn't matter. You're addicted to something. You have some kind of hang-up that you need to relinquish to God. And you can do that through prayer and meditation, seeking out that conscious contact with the one who wants to heal you. So as we've prayed for you, God gave me scripture from Ephesians to read for you. That's Paul, and he's... in the middle of the book of Ephesians, he just starts praying for the people of Ephesus, for the church there. And so that his prayer is what I'm going to tack on as our benediction today. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body. Both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display this wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of our trials that we've been through. I'm suffering for you so that you should feel honored. When I think of this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Grace and peace.